This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Right here in Boston, in the heart of the city's respected and centuries-old medical establishment, there's a research center that is challenging long-held views about how we treat illness, how we measure the effectiveness of treatment, and how the power of the mind, rather than drugs, can actually cure illness.
We're talking about new and controversial research into the so-called placebo effect. There's growing evidence that placebos can actually help cure people, or at least help make them feel better. If true, this could spark a major rethinking in medicine, because traditionally, placebos have had a bad name. After all, they're usually a fake pill, nothing more than a bit of sugar, for example, designed to deceive people in clinical drug trials.
But now there's evidence that in some cases, placebos, even when people knowingly take them, work just as well as real drugs and actually make people better. This has potentially enormous implications in the way we think about medicine and how we understand the role of suggestion and belief in healing.
The latest research on this comes from Harvard and its newly created Program in Placebo Studies and the Therapeutic Encounter at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. You could call this whole idea the power of nothing, which is the title of Michael Spector's article in last week's New Yorker about new research into the placebo effect. And Michael Spector is a staff writer at the New Yorker, and he joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Truly fascinating piece. You talk about a number of studies on the placebo effect. Tell us about the one of the first most significant ones back in the 70s from the University of California, which explored placebos and pain reduction. Can you talk a little about that?
Sure. I mean, that was there was always this feeling that placebos did something, but nobody really knew what. These guys at the University of California decided to look a little further, and with neuroscience, it's easier to do that, and they gave some people placebos and some people morphine and some people a drug that actually blocks the ability of morphine to work. And what they found, and I'm being kind of shorthanded here, is that if you think you're having saline, you won't get much of a pain relief effect. But if you don't, you'll feel just like you got morphine. And then if a placebo worked for you and you are given a drug that interferes with morphine, it will actually interfere with the placebo because your body is making a hormone that's basically the same as it's a painkiller. It's a natural pharmaceutical that we make.
It's an endorphin, right? So the amazing thing about this study is that the placebo didn't only make people imagine they felt better; it actually caused the body to produce endorphins, right?
Yeah, I think it was the importance of that study was it was the first time that scientists were able to say, "Look, there is a real chemical effect here; it makes a difference," and here is how it works. And not only does it work, we can actually interfere with it in the same way that we would interfere with heroin, because the drug they use, naloxone, was developed to prevent overdoses of things like morphine and heroin. So if you give someone naloxone, the heroin's not going to attach to the receptors the way it normally would. Well, that also was true of our own endorphins that we make in our body.
So it's remarkable. So how are placebos and this understanding of placebos changing the conversation about medicine and healing?
Well, that is a very complicated issue, and I don't want to overstate the possibilities, because I don't think we're in a situation where people are going to be prescribed placebos real soon. But I think what is happening is it's making people look at the drug system. It's making us say, how effective are our drugs? Are they really that much more effective than just believing? And how much is belief in the interaction with a physician or a nurse or someone in the medical profession playing a role? And it turns out that, you know, if I'm a doctor and I give you some drugs and I just say, here are the drugs, they're in the bottle, take two a day, take care. Or I say, hey, how's your sister? How's your mom? I heard about your dad. You know, how's life at work? And you act like you know the person and you care. That person's going to do better on the drug than the one who just gets a bottle.
Very interesting. Now, there is a pushback from some scientists. For example, in your piece, you quote a doctor at the FDA who says, basically, if I can sum it up this way, when you talk about the power of nothing, there's nothing to measure. There's no empirical data. So he's a big skeptic, right? So there's this kind of skepticism from the medical community.
Well, it depends. Yes, there is. But I think some of that is because of the way it's framed. I think the folks at Harvard are pretty careful not to oversell it. I think a lot of people do oversell it. I don't think we're going to be going into our pharmacy soon and buying prescriptions for placebos. On the other hand, it is true that it's possible that we could talk about using them if we knew the people who responded. And Ted Kopchak, who you are talking to today, one of the studies he's working on is trying to identify people who respond to placebos as opposed to people who don't. Because if we knew you were a placebo responder, then maybe we could alternate your antidepressants once in a while and you'd be off a drug that might have some side effects for a while. Or the same with pain medication. It's a possibility. I think we're pretty far from there. And the reason there are skeptics is because whenever you have an exciting finding in a lab, someone comes out and says, this is going to cure something, this is going to take care of something. And, you know, labs are very, very far from reality. But it is an exciting finding.
Interesting. You mentioned Ted Kopchak, and he's going to be in our studio in a moment. We'll be talking to him. And he's directing this new research center on the study of placebo at Harvard in Beth Israel Deaconess. What's the significance of a center like this being set up in the sort of heart of Boston's medical establishment?
Well, it's enormously significant because Harvard is the citadel. You know, if they set this up at the Esalen Institute on the West Coast, then everyone would yawn. But to have something at Harvard and at Beth Israel, and to have really credentialed people working in it means, you know, de facto that there's something going on here, and it's much more likely that other medical institutions and other institutions that watch the progress of American healthcare will pay serious attention. And that's good, because American healthcare needs all the help it can get.
Mm. Michael, finally, I want to ask you, if we could just conclude my interview with you the way you ended the piece, and that is, you tell a story about a recent health scare that you had that relates to all of this. What happened, and how did it relate to what we're talking about here?
Well, first of all, I put that in because I'm someone who's very much a science-based medicine person. That's what I believe in. I wrote a book called Denialism. It's about that, and I still believe in it. But the personal anecdote was that, oops, sorry, something just fell off my shoulders, my shelves. A couple years ago, I had some chest pains, and yeah, I'm a middle-aged guy, and I didn't think they were much, but, you know, that's what happens to middle-aged guys who have heart attacks. They don't think they're much. So I went to the doctor, and I was somewhat sheepish about it, and he gave me a checkup, and I was fine. And as soon as he said, your heart's fine, my pain went away. And it's ludicrous, and it's idiotic, but it's also true. And I went home, and I realized, this is the placebo effect. I mean, just having a physician that I trust and respect sit down and go over my chart and my body with me and say, you know what, you're fine, you're probably tense, was what I needed.
Well, Michael Spector, it was a great piece. It is a great piece. Thank you for writing it, and thank you for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Michael Spector is a staff writer at The New Yorker. His piece in last week's magazine on the placebo effect is called The Power of Nothing. And we're going to go a bit deeper into this story, and joining me now in the studio is Ted Kopchak. He's Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and Director of the Harvard-wide Program in Placebo Studies and the Therapeutic Encounter at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. And thanks so much for being here, Ted Kopchak. It's great to have you.
Thank you for inviting me.
And listeners, we want your involvement in this. What's your take? Have you experienced the placebo effect? And if so, what does it tell you about the power of the mind to heal? What does it say about medicine in general? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Radio Boston. Ted Kopchak, just a really basic question, first of all. How do you describe the placebo effect, and is it real?
I would describe the placebo effect as the power of the therapeutic imagination and the body's intelligence. I would describe it as the power of symbols, rituals in medicine, the doctor-patient relationship, and the power of empathy, compassion, and empathetic witnessing. I wouldn't define it as an inert pill, though that's obviously what its very important role in drug development. And your second question, does it exist?
Yeah.
In some situations, very clearly. In some situations, not. I think there has been historically an overinflated view of what placebo effects can do, and an under and a and a very deep dismissal of the of a placebo effect. I think it's somewhere in between.
Interesting. I want to ask you about one of the studies you did on irritated bowel syndrome. Mm-hmm. And you found something, I think, again, another sort of extraordinary result here that points to the power of this placebo effect. Can you describe fairly quickly how what that test revealed?
I've done a couple studies with Dr. Limbaugh, the Beth Israel Deaconess, on irritable bowel. So I think you're talking about the one that got the most media coverage, which wasn't our best scientific study, which was one of the things a placebo researcher has to deal with is placebos are usually given with deception or concealment. You don't usually tell people this is a placebo. And people said, Ted, what's going to make your work relevant? And I realized there was a major ethical impediment here. And looking at the data from our qualitative studies interviewing patients who had been on placebos, I said, you know, people are really worried in randomized control trials whether they're getting better because of the drug or the placebo. People were really anxious and think about it, discuss it with their families. That's what we found out when we interviewed them. And I said, let's just tell them and see what happens and compare that to people who are not on placebos, who have a control. And we did a very small pilot study, 80 patients with irritable bowel syndrome, half of whom received placebos very clearly with a bottle that said placebo. The informed consent was very clear. And half of them received no treatment. And it was a short trial, but we got a very large effect on the people who were taking placebos, honestly, described very honestly.
So they knew they were taking
placebo. Yeah, and that was the first time that's ever been done in history with
right.
a control.
Yeah.
But can I just mention can I mention another study? With
sure.
Irritable bowel?
Sure.
Because I think it's actually a better scientific study. Addressing the question, is there a placebo effect?
Yeah.
One of the ways you know a drug is effective, if you compare it to a placebo, right? And another way you know a drug is effective is you do a dose response. If the drug does this, double the doses, it should do more. Those are the two ways you assess drug efficacy. So in 2001, when I read the meta-analysis saying there was no placebo effect and said, oh, my God, I'm going out of business again, I said, let me do something to address that and see if there is or is not a placebo effect. And what we did was give people placebos, randomized people with irritable bowel to either no treatment, seeing if it's more than nothing, to just a dummy treatment, or a dummy treatment with a supportive, warm, empathetic doctor-patient relationship. And it was like three dosages of nothing, and we got a dose-response curve, and the two placebos treatments were much better than the no-treatment control. And we think that is a good example of showing in a very rigorous way. We also filmed the entire study to make sure everything was done according to protocol. And it's clear people got a placebo effect and then got a mega placebo effect when we did the doctor-patient relationship.
So the doctor-patient relationship, this sort of points to the importance of a sort of nurturing caretaker in that relationship.
I think on average, nurturing caretakers really what is right, but some people, obviously like any drug, some people react negatively to a drug and need a different kind of caretaker. And there's got to be, we have to really think about how to be flexible about that. But you're right, yes. I think you're right.
Now you're up against, though, describe to what extent you're up against sort of traditional scientific skepticism about these sorts of things. I mean, when we talk about the effectiveness of drugs, we want sort of empirical data that just looks at the drug and just looks at the result. And when you start talking about squishy things like nurturing caretakers and that sort of stuff, right? There's a certain skepticism that you need to push through here, right?
Well, I think skepticism for scientists is real important. Without skepticism, we get junk. So I respect people's skepticism. And in terms of the skepticism at a medical institution, being able to describe the neurobiological basis of something makes people feel more comfortable. So, in fact, our team does neuroimaging with fMRI and PET. I've done lots of, I'm now involved in a large genetic study, and we're looking for, looking for neurotransmitters. There's a biology underneath the placebo effect that our team and many other teams have contributed to that reduces skepticism. And also, most physicians have seen it in their clinical practice that people get better even though this physician didn't think that drug was going to do much. Mm.
Is one of the simple sort of ideas here is that we need to take more seriously that we do have the power to heal ourselves if we sort of think about things in the correct way?
Well, I don't think of the placebo effect. I think of this placebo effect as the power of symbols and rituals in a medical context. And in terms of self-healing, is that mind cure? Is that a kind of Christian Science. That's not where I'm coming from. Clearly, there's an endogenous pharmacy in our body. There are dopamines and endorphins and that are released endogenously that contribute to respond to placebo treatments. But I think I'm mostly thinking about the doctor-patient context when I'm doing my work.
Let's go to some calls. We're talking to Ted Kapchuk. He's Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and Director of the Harvard-wide Program in Placebo Studies at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. You can join the conversation at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. And we're talking about the placebo effect, what it means, and what is its significance. Let's go to Kathy, who's calling from Cambridge. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was going to say that I've experienced this as a parent of a young child when, you know, there's some sort of boo-boo or hurt that isn't really aided by ice, but I give ice, a little thing of ice. And it does just that, just what you were talking about after I called, which is, you know, I'm paying attention, I'm caring, I'm doing something, I'm not ignoring the problem. Band-Aid, same thing.
It calms her down and seems to have a positive effect, right?
Yeah, and it's not just my child. You know, all the children she was in preschool with.
All right, Kathy.
You know, it does. It's I know myself when there's something that isn't really fixed. If I have some nurturing of some sort, it helps. It just helps.
Kathy, thanks very much for the call. Ted Kapchuk, that's a good example of the placebo effect?
I think it probably is, and I think that as adults we want to be cared for when we feel the limitations of illness and disease, yeah.
Let's go to Sabina, who's calling from Brookline. Hi, Sabina.
How are you?
I'm very well. What's on your mind?
I just want to say I read the article, really enjoyed it, and when I finished, I asked my husband, I was curious that they didn't report whether people who received placebos also reported known side effects of medications. If somebody was given a placebo of an antidepressant, did they also report known side effects like headaches or weight gain or something like that?
Great question.
Great question, Sabina. We call that the nocebo effect, the negative effects of the placebo in randomized controlled trials. Whatever the active intervention produces in terms of side effects, the placebo will also produce those side effects. And in fact, there are almost no side effects that haven't been recorded in placebo arms of randomized controlled trials that replicate what goes on in the active intervention. And that's called the placebo effect. And I guess Michael didn't have a lot of space to do everything.
Thanks very much, Sabina, for that call. Let's go to Kathy, who's calling from the North End. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I wanted to share my experience that I did hypnobirthing. I was able to self-hypnotize and go through a very long labor and 7 hours of pushing with very little pain. And I wanted to know if that was similar to the body's, the mind-body sort of connection that maybe a placebo does.
Great question.
It's a great question. I'm not an expert. I think that what the people are thinking now is the areas of the brain that are activated in hypnosis are different than the areas of the brain that are activated when people receive placebos. But clearly, we're dealing with some mind-body connection, so there's similarity. But right now, most people believe there's a difference between those two mind interventions.
Ted Kapchuk, I want to ask you, I gather there are certain kinds of treatments that placebos might help with compared to others, and I wanted to sort of ask you about what those would be. In other words, a placebo might make us feel better if we're depressed. It might make us feel less pain. Other kinds of conditions like high cholesterol, maybe not so much, right?
Yeah, I think that the evidence so far, there's very decent evidence that the placebo modifies the experience people have with their illness, pain, fatigue, nausea, anxiety, depression, hot flushes and perimenopausal complaints, frequent urination. The placebo effect modifies how we experience ourselves. The evidence that the placebo changes pathophysiology, I don't think is there. A recent study that our team did in asthma that was published this summer in New England Journal of Medicine, we showed that a placebo inhalator or placebo pin, an acupuncture needle, had no effect beyond no treatment in terms of the biology of asthma and the capacity of the lungs to breathe, but actually rivaled the effect of how people felt. People felt their distress, their breathing felt better to them when they received placebo in a way that was no different than an active drug. So I think we're talking at this point that the placebo effect is primarily what would be called patient-centered, addresses patient-centered complaints, what used to be called or is still called subjective complaints. And if it had an objective change, it probably is because if you had less pain in your knee because of a ritual, mm-hmm. you probably walk a little more, and that actually may eventually make real biology change. But I don't think we have evidence for real disease, hardcore pathophysiology changing from placebos.
Well, this is such a fascinating subject. I'm sorry we don't have more time with you, Ted Kapchuk, but thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thank you so much.
Ted Kapchuk is Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and Director of the Harvard-wide Program in Placebo Studies and the Therapeutic Encounter at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. You can find an excerpt from Michael Spector's New Yorker article on the placebo effect at our website, radioboston.org. Coming up, proposed cuts to federal heating oil aid could mean some Maine residents will run short on funds this winter.
That's less than 100 gallons that would get them through the winter, which is about 20 days.
Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.